Welcome to the ReHope Podcast. Before we dive into this week's message, we'd like to provide you with some helpful resources. If you'd like someone to pray for you, it would be our joy to connect with you. So please email us at prayer@rehope.co.uk. If you'd like to get connected with an online Bible read-through group from wherever you are in the world, you can email brt@rehope.co.uk and be a part of a small group of people reading through the Bible cover to cover each year. Finally, if you would like to support the work and ministry of ReHope financially, you can do so online at rehope.co.uk/giving. We pray you find this message encouraging, enlightening, and helpful. Enjoy.
Good morning, family. Hope you're all well. Shout out to Royston. Good to see you all. Excited. That was the most non-enthusiastic whoop I've heard. So maybe I'll bless you and see how that goes, okay? Let me bless you all. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that you would know Jesus more wonderfully today. I bless you to receive healing if you need healing in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your spirit today. I bless you to receive whatever guidance from God you need, whatever help from God you need immediately. I bless you to have the courage and capacity to flourish and prevail over whatever challenges you're facing in your life right now. And I bless you to feel hope and joy and love and peace, whatever's going on. I bless you with that. In the name of Jesus, may it be. Amen. All right, next Sunday, Palm Sunday, Baptism Sunday. If you have not yet been baptized, but you have given your life to Jesus, run to Laura Campbell or Alan Meldrum right after the service. Be like, I believe in Jesus. I have not been baptized. Next week is your week, friends. So do that. Very excited about next week and talking about Palm Sunday and baptisms. Last week, I started a two-part message from Joshua chapter 1. And the context of Joshua chapter 1 is that God is now commissioning Joshua. Moses has died. And so God is commissioning Joshua to lead God's people into their next. And as I said last week, when God is commissioning Joshua in this passage, he basically sums up how Joshua is to live. And that same is true for all of us who want to follow Jesus well in every generation. And how we're to live our lives of faith following God. Now, this is what we read last week in Joshua 1, starting in verse 6. God is speaking to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this whole passage is helpful, and we talked a lot about this passage last week. Last week's message was simply this from verse 9. Do not be afraid. And then this week's message is do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged. I find it interesting and practical and powerful that Joshua is only warned against two things. Two things, fear and discouragement. The topic of discouragement, as well as all the faces and symptoms of discouragement, come up all through the Bible because it is one of the most common enemy tactics where he cultivates discouragement in our lives so that we quit on what God would be having us to do. So that we give up on God's plans and purposes and directions for our life. So discouragement is dangerous. Discouragement is dangerous. When God commissions Joshua, he says, do not be afraid or discouraged because these two emotions, these two feelings are dangerously powerful at even getting God's greatest saints to give up and to quit. Different context, Isaiah, many centuries later, Isaiah 41, God's encouraging his people in that generation who are in another scary, disappointing, awful set of circumstances, and he uses nearly the same terminology. He commands that generation, verse 10 of Isaiah 41, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Okay, family. Don't let your hearts be discouraged. Do not let your hearts be discouraged. It's dangerous. Give it no place. Just like with fear, you are not a helpless victim of the feelings of discouragement. You can live through your exact situation, the same circumstances that you're in right now, as disappointing as they may be or feel. You can live through those and not be discouraged. If you intentionally lead yourself emotionally and spiritually through this moment. Now, I know what I'm talking about when it comes to discouragement. Sadly, I have no vomit stories for you today. I know you guys are missing out. I was like, oh, that's so fun to hear all your vomit stories. But my discouragement stories, August 2005, facing another failed attempt at trying to plant a church. We planted ReHope here in January 2005, August 2005. I'm looking around at church on Sunday, 8 months, 8 people. Long, slow start, and I was discouraged. And I was like, okay, maybe it's time to shut down this church. Giving up on this church because it wasn't working fast enough, well, really by anybody's metric ever, on all time. But I was discouraged. There was almost no ReHope church because of discouragement in 2005. 2006, autumn 2006, huge setback. We'd finally made some progress that previous year, but we had to move locations, and we ended up losing half of our people, and we were in the back room of a church with no sign. It was just a really challenging situation. Things were shrinking. Things were going backwards. Again, things looked to be falling apart. I could see no way forward, no way out of it. No matter how hard we were trying, everything looked awful, and I was discouraged. In fact, it was the closest I've ever been to depression. I don't get depressed, but it was going that direction quickly. Almost gave up. 2010, summer 2010, another season, huge setbacks with the church, lost half the people again. Okay, this is the quick word. There's good times in the story as well. But again, huge, we lost another location, and we were meeting in the afternoons. I was so discouraged. Kelly and I are having conversations in our home. When do we just go home? When do we give up? And we just couldn't get this happening. When do we do that? When do we make that call? Discouraging season. Then there was another long discouraging season. I can't really put like months or years on it because it was a long season of building and accumulating discouragement, which is dangerous, where I had friends moving on and a variety of friendship pains and relationship pains and disappointments. They're all kind of building and stacking up with the pressures and maybe working too hard and, you know, people challenges and rejections and all that kind of stuff. And with just such a limited number of people at that time, just encouraging, being encouraging, and at the same time just working hard and feeling tired. It was a long season. Discouragements are building up day after day until finally I looked up to heaven, overwhelmed by discouragement, and I said these words to God. I said, God, I can't keep going. I quit. Quit, and I will give the elders my resignation on Monday. I just can't keep going. I was exhausted. I was empty, and I was discouraged to the point of giving up. Now, it took a massive work of God to have me. Oh, I did stay. A massive work of God to keep me here. I had never experienced that before, but in the middle of that night, God woke me up and loudly, as most obvious and loud as I'd ever heard God say, I said, call Peter Anderson, a pastor buddy friend of mine. And so I got up the next morning, I called Pete Anderson, and he's like, and he didn't know anything about what's going on. I haven't talked to him for quite some time. And he said, Brian, before you say anything, God says to you, keep going and do not give up. So I did. But what I wanted you to hear is that my discouragement was so high that I had decided to give up on God's clear path for my life. I had decided in my discouragement to give up on God's path for my life. It took one of the most obvious interventions of God that I've ever experienced for me to keep going, and so I would be still here today. Discouragement is dangerous. It's dangerous, and as for Joshua, and for me, and for all of us who want to follow God and follow God's plans and purposes for our lives in whatever generation we're appointed to live, we need to be on guard and intentional about rejecting every shadow of discouragement and refusing to give it any place, because your life and your calling is on the line. Here's a list of 10 dangerous situations where discouragement is most likely to grab hold of your life. So just to be on guard against. 10 situations. Number one, unmet expectations. When reality falls short of our hopes and dreams or goals, whether personal achievements or relationships or career milestones, it can lead to feelings of disappointment and discouragement. Number two, comparison. Comparing oneself to others, especially in today's age of social media, can lead to feelings of inadequacy or jealousy, discouragement when it seems like others are achieving more or happier or having a better life. Comparison. Number three, persistent obstacles, facing continuous challenges without seeing progress or solutions. That can wear down even the most optimistic person. It can wear down their resilience, leading to discouragement. Number four, personal failure or setbacks, mistakes, failures, or setbacks, whether in personal, professional, or spiritual endeavors, can be disheartening, particularly if one's identity or self-worth is too closely tied to those areas. Number five, loss and grief. Experiencing loss, whether of a loved one or a job or an important friendship, can trigger profound discouragement as individuals grapple with their grief and with the loss, what that loss means for their future. Isolation, number six. Feeling disconnected from others, lack of a supportive community, or enduring prolonged periods of loneliness can foster discouragement by amplifying negative feelings and reducing outlets for sharing and relief. Seven, health issues. Chronic illness, physical limitations, deteriorating health can lead to discouragement, especially if such conditions prevent individuals from engaging in activities that they enjoy or fulfilling their responsibilities. Overwhelm and burnout. Being overwhelmed by responsibility, stress, or the demands of life can lead to burnout, a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion that's closely linked to discouragement. Spiritual dryness, number nine. We might experience periods of spiritual dryness where we feel distant from God and find our faith more routine, lacking fulfillment, lacking direction, leading to discouragement on our spiritual journeys. Or number 10, global or societal issues, events in the wider world, natural disasters, political unrest, economic downturns, pandemics also create a sense of helplessness and discouragement about the state of the world and our place in it. Now, the Bible acknowledges the reality of discouragement even amongst the most godly people. Even amongst the most godly people. In the Psalms, sometimes we get a deeper insight, a deeper perspective on what's going on in someone's heart. Clearly, King David, for all of his success, for all of his victories, for all of the help that he experiences from God all of his life, he also battles with discouragement many times. And he writes Psalm 42. And as I read this psalm, you can just see some of those symptoms, some of those warning triggers about typical inroads that would bring David to a place of discouragement. So Psalm 42 reads like this, starting in verse 1. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession into the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief? Oppressed by my enemies. Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. David's discouraged. I mean, enemies. I remember enemies coming against him, maybe feeling God isn't as close. He's not able to worship God and lead the procession as he had in the past. There's grief mentioned. There's several things, flags of opportunities for discouragement to get in. But the main thing that I wanted you to see in that psalm is that David is making a choice. David is making a choice in his heart to not let his circumstances have the last word on his emotions and his feelings. He's not going to let them. David's an emotional guy, but he is going to challenge his emotions. He is going to challenge his feelings of discouragement, and he is going to dictate to his heart a different focus. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? He's already told us about his circumstances, but then he switches from his circumstances to what he is going to do, and he's going to do two things. He is going to put his hope in God. When you lose hope that God's maybe real or going to help you or cares about you or whatever, I don't know how you're going to navigate that. When we kind of lose perspective that God is real and that he's around us, we need to keep that hope door open. I'm going to put my hope, whatever my circumstances, back on God, and I'm just going to keep shutting the door on discouragement in my life. David's not going to be a helpless victim of discouragement. He's going to reject discouragement, and he's going to tell his heart, hope in God again. And number two, he's going to proactively praise God. He's going to proactively, even though his life circumstances weren't going great, they were a long ways from the ideal that he would like them to be, even though he's not feeling maybe as close to God as he has in the past. Now, this is great emotional self-leadership. This is great spiritual self-leadership, which all of us can do. We can challenge our hearts and ask ourselves, why am I discouraged? Why am I so sad? And we can reject that. We can reject that, and we can put our hope back in God, and we can start praising Him even if our circumstances are a long ways from wonderful. At a different time in David's life, he writes a much shorter psalm, only 5 verses. At another time when he's discouraged, and again, you can see the same things, same issues going on in his life, Psalm 43. David's writing, declare me innocent, O God, defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. There's some people stuff going on here. For you are God, my only safe haven. Why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. Why am I discouraged? Again, he writes in this psalm. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Again, so many people issues, lying and grief and all that, needing some guidance and direction, tough stuff. But again, he is challenging again the feelings of discouragement, and he leads his heart and his emotions to put their hope in God again, and to praise God, whatever's going on in his life at the moment. In my experience, when life gets difficult, when it gets disappointing, when I'm tired, when I'm worn out, discouragement attempts to sneak in. And before I realized how dangerous that was, I just figured that's how life is. That's how life works. We are in a season that is disappointing, and so, of course, we feel discouraged. But the longer that I allowed discouragement to go unchecked, unchallenged, unresisted in my life, the more it moved from just discouragement towards depression. This isn't the only discouragement leading to depression. Now, someone may not be like, oh, I'm giving up on my job because I'm discouraged. But for them, in their discouragement, they might give up on themselves. And they give up on themselves, giving way to depression. Again, I'm not saying this is the only way people get depressed, but for some, their life situations open a door to discouragement, which goes unchallenged, unresisted, over a period of time, and it opens up this door to depression, which might look like giving up on the people in their lives, giving up on important relationships in their lives because they're discouraged, healthy life choices. Maybe start self-sabotaging because they're just discouraged and they're unhappy about whatever's going on. Some people stop giving up on just life out there, and they don't even want to get out of bed anymore. They're just in such a sad place. We always want to blame our circumstances. Again, I know there's lots of reasons for depression. There is discouragement is just one of those, but we always want to blame our circumstances for these things. But friends, there's no situation in your life that is forcing you to be discouraged. There's no situation in your life that's forcing you to be discouraged. You can always challenge discouragement, as David did, leading your emotions and feelings back to trust in God. It might sound like some self-help stuff here. I mean, it's in the Bible. We see that example with David and how David did that. You also see the same sort of thing in the New Testament as well. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, he is full of guidance about leading the focus of your heart intentionally. Lead the focus of your heart intentionally. And it says in Philippians 4:8, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Or as they said a long time ago, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, isn't it good? I say rejoice. That sort of vibe. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts, your hearts and minds, as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, be intentional about what you're thinking about. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So much like what we saw with David, right? No matter your circumstances, choose joy. Choose to rejoice. Choose to focus on what is good and admirable, not on what is disappointing and frustrating. Tell God what you need. Thank him. David said, "Pray, I will praise you." But here he is like, thank him. And this will guard your heart and mind against worry in that context of Paul here, but also against discouragement and so many other dark emotions. Fix your thoughts on the good things. This is how you help lead your heart and your mind against discouragement and worries and fears when you're overwhelmed. I'm just saying this because there's so much that you can do to lead your heart and to keep away from discouragement. There's so much you can do. But also in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we find something about God. We find out something about God, that what he's like even in the hardest moments of our life. And Paul's in a bad spot here in 2 Corinthians 7, or at least he's writing about a bad moment in his life. And it says in verse 5, Paul's writing, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. You've got this dangerous cocktail for discouragement, especially about situations and life in the moment. But then it says, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged. That's like one of those facts about God. God who encourages those who are discouraged. I love that. He commands us not to be discouraged. Joshua 1, Isaiah 41. He gives us examples of people who are doing mindset shifting, challenging, resisting discouragement. And we saw that in like Psalm 41, Psalm 42. No, sorry, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, Philippians chapter 4. But then we also say that God is a God who not just has you do it on your own, he's also helping. He is an encourager of the discouraged. And in that situation, Paul sent his friend Titus, or God sent Paul's friend Titus to him. He encouraged him by sending Titus. If you're in a challenging situation in your life, or a situation which seems to be difficult to be encouraged in, how is God sending you encouragement? Maybe who is that priceless friend that God is sending to you? Don't reject them in your darkness. Don't push them away in this difficult moment. Don't let discouragement keep you from identifying how God, the God who encourages the discouraged, is at work trying to encourage you. Don't be blind to that. Now, last week, I gave 4 ways to expel fear from your life, and they also work perfectly for discouragement. So just by recap, you can hear more about them last week. I meant to have a cross-through for fear, because this is totally different. How to expel, not fear, discouragement from your life. Number one, we talked about last week, believe what the Bible says about God and his thoughts about you. Number two, pursue God's favor through obedience. Number 3, win the spiritual war of your heart and mind every day. So that would be like spirits of discouragement, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Spirits of depression, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Unbelief, spirits of unbelief, doubt, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. That sort of a thing. And then number 4, keep seeking God's direction pertaining to your circumstances and decisions. We talked about that last week. I just want to add 4 more quickly. Number 1, watch your life rhythm and pace. Overworking, wearing yourself out, not taking your Sabbath, a Jesus day, a day off, exhaustion can make it so much easier for discouragement to slip in and harder for you to resist it, to push it back. You can, but when you're tired, you're way more susceptible. Follow the biblical direction of being mindful of your pace. Secondly, be clear on God's path for your life for this season. Usually, the enemy is trying to get you to quit on God's path for your life. Be clear. Know what it is that God has you here for and what he's leading you to do, and that can help you with your resolve against quitting. Now, I'm not saying quitting is always bad, definitely not, but I will say it's always bad when you're quitting on what God wants you to do. Like what I was trying to do several years ago, quitting the church when God didn't want that. He didn't want that at that time. Maybe when I'm 90, he'll be like, okay, Brian, quit, move on, something like that. But I have so much energy and joy. Oh, that's okay. We'll see. I'm making up what I'm going to be like at 90. But again, be aware of God's path for your life and for this season. Number three, pursue breakthrough in your disappointing situations. Now, I'm not trying to encourage anybody from not asking God to change their circumstances. I want that for you. I want good circumstances for you to be in. We've been talking a lot about from the perspective of when circumstances around you aren't changing. Doesn't mean don't pray and seek and appeal and for God's circumstances in your life to change, so keep pursuing that. And then fourthly, fill your life with thankful, grateful, and praise-filled prayers to God. Like what David is doing and what he's choosing to do in the Psalms and what Paul's encouraging. These things are powerful at guarding against discouragement in all its faces. And so the challenge today is very simple. Do not be discouraged. Challenge accepted. Do not be discouraged, and basically see and reject. But the longer version is identify any discouragement in your heart or mind. And secondly, challenge and reject discouragement by leading your heart to hoping in and praising Jesus. I have four one-line prayers, as we have been doing more frequently these days. You can choose if you want to pray these prayers. I will tell you what the four prayers are, and then we'll kind of pray them about three times each. They're better external than internal, but you know, you do you. But here are the four prayers which you can think, okay, is this a prayer that I want to join in praying for myself? Prayer number one, Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with joy and peace. Sounds like a good one to me. I'm praying that one for myself. Number two, King Jesus, clarify and confirm the path you want me to be on for this season. Clarify and confirm the path you want me to be on. Number three, spirits of discouragement, depression, unbelief, or any spirits causing discouragement, get out of my life now in the name of Jesus. And then fourth prayer, Jesus, thank you for being so good to me. You are the greatest. All right, four prayers. You can choose if you want to pray them along with me. I'll pray each one three times, and you can join me or not. Prayer number one, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with joy and peace. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with joy and peace. Holy Spirit, come and fill my heart with joy and peace. King Jesus, clarify and confirm the path you want me to be on for this season. King Jesus, clarify and confirm the path you want me to be on this season. King Jesus, clarify and confirm the path you want me to be on for this season. Any and all spirits of discouragement, depression, unbelief, or any spirits causing discouragement, get out of my life now and forever in the name of Jesus. Any and all spirits of discouragement, depression, unbelief, or any spirits causing discouragement, get out of my life now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any and all spirits of discouragement, depression, unbelief or any spirits causing discouragement, get out of my life now and forever in the name of Jesus. Jesus, thank you for being so good to me. You are the greatest. Jesus, thank you for being so good to me. You are the greatest. Jesus, thank you for being so good to me. You are the greatest. God, I praise you for your work, for the freedom that we have in Jesus. I ask in the name of Jesus for your spirit to pour out powerfully over everyone in this church and anyone who will ever listen to this message in the future, that you would completely shatter discouragement and depression from every life here in the name of Jesus, that you would set people free and you would fill them with life and joy and health and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.